You're listening to the Floodgates Podcast. My name is Joey Brake.
And I'm Kenton Brake.
It is so good to be back on the pod. How are you doing?
I'm so good. Episode 7, we're in this awesome season, really at the end of summer. So we're so excited to come and be with you today.
Yeah, we took a little break during the summer. We took the month of July off. It was a busy month. A lot of things that weren't planned, a lot of things that were. And I believe it was one heck of a summer, for sure.
For sure.
But today, I'm excited for this episode. We get to catch up with everyone, share a little bit what's been going on in our life, the life of the church, and share just everything God's been up to.
Yeah, it's never a dull moment. And typically summer in the life of the church, it's ups and downs with people traveling and vacationing. But we did see God move in spectacular ways. And I remember prior to summer, we fasted as a team. And then throughout the summer, we saw God answering those prayers and the fast and gave us clarity and direction. And so it's kind of like a hot summer, but we're at the end of it, going into our fall season, and so we're excited to update you and share with you what God did this summer.
Yeah, let's start with a Motion Conference. We took a group of our students to Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama. Church of the Highlands put on an amazing gathering for students, young adults. We were able to take a few of our future students there, and the theme was On Things Above. It was such a great experience. I know I left refreshed and encouraged. I know a lot of our students, just hearing their stories of what God spoke to them and did in their life, was amazing. Maybe let's share some of our highlights from that, kind of let people in a little bit of that experience.
Yeah, we were able to take two college students and then also some high school students to the conference. It was amazing to worship with 15,000 young adults and students. That environment just... it just takes you to a place knowing that you're not alone, that there's people out there longing and looking to be in a relationship with Jesus and allow Jesus to guide them and lead them. So it's different when you go in a group of 10 or 12 or 100, but when you have 15,000 people saying, Jehovah, or I exalt you, or you're holy, it's just life-changing.
Yeah, it was so special to be in just a space of that magnitude of people. One of my favorite messages was from Earl McClellan, and he came and spoke, and he talked from the thought, looking for a leader. And there's so many just principles and insights in his message that really encouraged me as a leader, but I know a lot of our students left with a challenge. I think a lot of times the generation can wait for when the baton is passed to them. Right. But really, God is looking for everyone of all ages, of different different spots on the journey following Jesus, but he really wants to use us all to bring his kingdom to earth. And so it was really, really, really good message. I really loved actually how they did community groups, and they had students break out into high school and middle school, but also during that moment, they had different sessions for pastors and leaders, which was really, really cool. While they were in their moment, we were able to have a moment, and they just invested in us. And just to hear on different things such as prayer and certain just little technical things that they do, systems and ideas. They talked about groups being the glue. I thought that was really, really, really cool. I love that talk. So many good moments, so many good memories. I had pink hair.
Yeah, you had pink hair. and I love the theme of the whole conference was set your things in your mind on things above. It's not just your mind, though. It's also your heart, if you read that verse in Colossians. So it's what you're putting your heart to and your mind to. If you're focused on the eternal, your life will never be the same. You'll be about his kingdom and about expanding his love. And so I just love the whole aspect of it. We got to get away. We got to unplug and just disconnect from our routine, but also connect with our team and with the students on a higher level.
Yeah, very such intimate. A great trip. Hopefully we'll be able to go back next year. We'll see. But definitely one of the highlights of the summer for sure. It was also your birthday that weekend.
It was.
Came back midnight. You were driving the bus.
Turned
another year. we got to sing Happy Birthday as we were pulling in.
That's right.
For students to get picked up.
9 hours later.
Not many pastors that I know that will be driving a bus full of students on their birthday so that they could encounter Jesus. So I honor you for that.
Awesome.
That speaks a lot about your character and your leadership. But we got to celebrate your birthday that Sunday. Had Future Sunday. Such a great time. How you feel? Another year?
Another year. It feels great. I'm loving the 50s, to be honest. Just enjoying the calling, enjoying the fruit and seeing where God's moving. And just couldn't imagine doing anything else. Yeah. Just I'm full of health and full of energy. And God's just providing that supernatural strength to set up, tear down, to be involved and to be connected with our community. So it's an amazing privilege and honor. And it's, my prayer has always been to live to be 100. So I'm a little halfway there, over the halfway mark, Lord willing. I don't want to be in a bed and being fed with tubes. But unless he comes back, that would be an upgrade as well. But no, 54 is great. Loving it.
What's one thing you're going into this year? Maybe share a goal or maybe something you want to focus on. What do you feel like you're dedicating this year to?
Yeah, for me as a leader and for our team, I'm focusing on being intentional. I think that's the key word that's coming up in my quiet time, in my time just walking around. Am I being intentional with my phone calls, with my communication, with my leadership, am I with my time management? And so I'm just trying to be more intentional, just on purpose in a sense, that you'll be intentional in who you talk to, who you hang out with, how you act, how you go through your day, and just being intentional with it.
It's really good. I really love that. It's really important to have priority, and all of us need that. I feel like that check every so often to see where our priorities are, how we're living with purpose in all the areas of our life. We also got to go to our staff advance. Every year we take a week off the calendar to get away as a team and as a staff of the church to just seek God, seek vision and guidance and wisdom and have some conversations of what needs to change, what direction do we want to head in, areas that we think we can grow, things that are working well that we want to enhance and continue pushing forward. And I really loved this year. This year was special. I feel like when we walked into staff advance, I love how we call it advance, not retreat, first of all. Language is so important. We call it advance because it's a time we meet together to go into the future, to step to where God is calling us. Retreat seems like taking a step back, which in a sense we are taking a pause, but really to go forward. And I love this year because there's this special unity in the room.
Yeah.
There was this oneness that I just felt like was so unique. It was so fresh. I loved how in every moment where we met or when we were praying, just the things God was speaking would connect to each and every one of us as a staff. And I'm so excited for the vision for next year. We can't really talk much about it right now, so don't spoil it. I do feel I feel like it's really on time for where we're at, for where God is calling us to go. And I'm so excited to share the vision that God has given us. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it's going to change us for the better as a church.
For sure. And I think before we get into that part of vision and staff advance throughout the summer, we also had some disappointments and we had some hardships and we had some pain that we had to deal with. And so I think even in life and in ministry, it's great to tell you all the highlights. It's great to tell you all the good and all that God did. But there's also the reality that life is hard. You deal with people. You work with people. And we had to go through as a team a little time of disappointment. Like I said, we started the summer off before we kicked the summer off with some fasting. And God, over the summer, answered it differently than what we anticipated, obviously. But it was difficult. It was hard, but I think it really brought back to reality why we do what we do, and then also really look at how we do it. And so, as we gave God that pain, we also went through a season of hope, And really, God, I think, fine-tuned our menu as a church. He kind of gave us some new direction and some processes that we needed to know that needed to be in place, but we kind of let to the side because of we need people to fill positions or we needed certain things to happen. So in a sense, we kind of compromise like our expectations to fulfill a role or a need. And so we realize now that we have to step that up, and God will provide the people, and God will provide the people at that level, but we have to not lower the standard for the people. Yeah. And so I think as great as it was as a summer, it was a difficult one as well. And so I just want to be vulnerable and truthful as well, that life is not easy. Yeah. When you invest in people, you work with people, you deal with the good and the bad. And so we were able to navigate through that with outside help and counseling, and we were able to get support where we didn't know we could get support. Friends stepped up and helped us in that season with worship and production and all the areas that we needed that we couldn't carry at that moment. So it's so grateful to see. I think we even had a thought, and we're planning, preparing to do at the end of the year, November, forum. And that's really to unite the churches, and the heart behind it is to collaborate. And through our pain, we saw the churches doing that. Wow. We had pastors coming hour and a half away to come and lead worship for it. We had pastors traveling out of town that would come and speak. We had people just stepping up, worship singers and leaders that would just come and embrace us and carry us through. So it was so rewarding to see that the church can collaborate, and that just gave me more inspiration for this forum. Moment that we're going to have in November, but it was amazing, and I think that's what led that spirit of unity into our advance. Mm-hmm. That we didn't have to step back and say, "Oh, we can't go on." We said, "Okay, let's reevaluate. Let's dream. Let's pray. Let's ask God for direction and favor." And He was so clear, mm-hmm. and so brought so much unity and focus in this advance. I agree with you.
Yeah, and I think one thing to note is just how. In the difficult moments when we experience pain and hurt, just you can focus all on that, and it's important to kind of diagnose and heal and actually like pay attention to those things in the moment so you don't bring it on further. Yeah. But also on the other half, just how loved we were by so many people. God really showed me the community of people that I probably would have never even thought of, that just came around us, supported us, and strengthened us. And I think it speaks a lot, too, about just your life and how you lead and your ministry and how many pastors and people that are just there in the fight with you. It took a moment like that to us to realize how surrounded we are by people that are pushing us on, that believe in us, that encourage us. And so that's something I'm walking away with, of not trying to take that for granted, but actually be aware that we're not alone, that there's people that see us. And maybe for those that are listening right now, maybe you are going through a hurt or something that's super hard, just know that there's probably more people around you that are for you, that love you, that believe in you, than you can ever think of or imagine. That maybe might take you reaching out or making a phone call or letting people into what you're going through. But on the other side of that, there is people that want to walk with you, that believe in you. And that's a big takeaway for me, that even in the ups, it's easy to share a lot of all the good things, but in the downs especially, to share with people and be vulnerable and let them into the situation, and how more often than not, they're willing to just walk alongside with you, to love you through it. Some of our best friends have just been such just a godsend in this season. Sure. And so I know God's hand is in every mm-hmm. detail, and I know that He is working and He is moving. And I know right now we're coming on the other side, where we kind of went through, and we can kind of see the other side of the mountain. And so I believe that there's so much on the horizon, especially as we're getting to Anniversary Sunday and Vision and all these things coming up at the back half of this year with Forum. I'm really excited to see what God is going to do in that space where we can connect with people and love people and people in ministry, people who just go to church, but the special unity Yeah. Bible speaks a lot about the unity of the believers. Yeah. And I think that's very distinct, especially in a world that's so divided. Unity is something that stands out even more. Right. And so when there is a unity, it brings so much joy to your soul, but also you notice that difference. Yeah.
And I know that as we went through the summer, we kind of started in June with Kids Camp, and it was about imagine and living that moment and letting people have an imagination station where they could just dream and think of what God is doing. But then we shift our summer camp to a conference, and even the miracle of getting tickets because it was sold out, and one of our students gave their life to Christ. So these are, although it was a difficult summer, it was such a joyful summer because you could see God move. Like it was worth it for one student to know Jesus. Sure. It's worth it that one person knows that they're not alone. Mm-hmm. It's worth it that that the church can collaborate and not be about their individual name or their individual purpose, but really be about the kingdom purpose and God's will to be done. And I know that when we're going to be called to step up to help someone, we will know what it felt like. And so we'll be that much more intentional to be supportive and meeting people where they're at. So it was a godsend, and things happen. There's necessary endings that have to happen for God to do what he needs to do. And that's to have those experiences and new beginnings.
Yeah. Some things are necessary endings in order to experience the new beginnings. Right. And it takes something to end in order for you to enter into the new thing God has for you. So that's the hope that we have. That's the perspective. I think that is a perspective you have to choose. You can sit in turmoil and say, why did it have to end, or why did it have to be this way? But you could choose to just have faith that God can turn it all to good somehow. And I want to go back to Staff Advance. While we were there, we actually met a man, and he was there with his family. And you just struck up a conversation with this random guy and started talking about why we were there. And we were you were sharing about the church and what we do. And I don't know, maybe you want to share the story that he opened up to us about, but it was such a beautiful story of how just God has changed his life. Maybe just kind of share with the people. I think it was really moving just to see how just God speaks to people so uniquely, and how just one moment can change a family.
Right. And we were, like you said, we were eating, kind of minding our own business, but there was a little checker game going on, and he kept asking people if this was legal or not legal, and I just mentioned that my great-grandfather was actually checkers champion, and so we got to share some actual rules with the boys against girls, and that's how it kind of started, the conversation. And then he was just telling me, you know, I just admired how he was a father, and how his children listened. And I was noticing in this group that they were in, there was two kinds of fathers taking place. And one had like authority, respect, not out of fear, but just out of love and upbringing. And the other child was not listening. He was rambunctious. He was like actually slapping his father in the face. And I'd be like, oh no, that would not be me. But it was just admirable. And so I actually complimented on him that how good it was to see that his son would listen and still not really like the answer, but would obey. And so we just led through conversation. And he said it went back to his encounter with the church and with a pastor who actually mentored him and important to him and taught him the importance of being faithful and being obedient. And so through that, the next day we got to see them again, and he was just sharing his testimony that him and his wife were not Christians. They were living together out of need, just financial need to make ends meet.
This was before they were married.
Yeah.
They already had children.
They had a home. Yeah. And then somehow they got invited to go to a church, and the wife and him started going, And then
No, because he got that job with a man that was Christian.
That's right.
He had these tattoos.
That's right.
And he had Christian tattoos of like Bible verses and the cross, but he didn't believe in Jesus. He just thought they looked cool.
And the owner only hired Christians.
And the owner only hired Christians. And so he didn't even ask him if he was a Christian. He just hired him based off his tattoos.
Right.
And here he found himself in this company that's only Christians, surrounded by Christians. Right. And he said that eventually in a conversation with his coworkers, he told them, he was like, I actually don't believe in Jesus. And all of them just loved him and like just showed them, like showed him who Jesus was. And it was really special because he said like he was able to ask every question. He was able to share his doubts, his concerns, why he didn't believe, all these things. And through that whole process, one day when he was home, he just fell to his knees.
I remember
and
that.
It just clicked. And I love how he said, it's like, it just clicked and it just all made sense.
Yeah.
And he shared that with us and all of us were like moved to tears because he said he was the first one to believe in Jesus. Fair. And then he started going to church and after months, his wife, well, at that time was his girlfriend, like gave up on like not going, just went with him. So he got baptized. She ended up giving her life to Jesus. Yeah. She got baptized. And then their oldest child got baptized.
Right.
And now it's leading to this whole family coming to know Jesus.
Right.
And it was so special just the way he shared it with us. And I loved how he said, it just clicked.
Yeah.
And maybe right now you're listening and you have a family member that you've been praying for. And it just takes one moment. Don't give up on people.
Right.
It inspired me so much to just like continue believing that God can speak in intimate and unique ways that in just one moment, it'll just make sense. And that it would change, you know, a family, a generation, a legacy. And now they get to be a light to their family. And so that was a really cool moment.
It was amazing.
And cool story. Let's talk a little bit about Pray First.
Pray first. We do twice a year. We do 21 days of praying and fasting in the beginning. And then towards the end of the year, the last season, we go into pray and feasting time, 21 days. And we focus on the promises of God. And every day we got together live on Instagram and we got to pray together as a church. But we also have a daily Devo where people could go and just read that promise, reflect on it, and apply it to their lives. Yeah. And so it was just a unique time. It's so good to break bread together. It's so good to feast. It was so good just to pray united, you know, at the church, at the prayer gatherings. They were so special, the prayer gatherings, the times that we just got to, just spend time with God and praying and crying out to God out loud and some in silence, but God was definitely moving. It's been an amazing time. It's our first response, and a lot of people wait to pray when they're in a need or a crisis, and we just believe it's just our first. It's what we should do continually.
Yeah, we also had coffee clubs going on during Pray First, and we did it every week throughout the 21 days. And that's one of my highlights from this summer, something that like started so organic and just were like, let's just start a Bible study at a local coffee shop, like not really an agenda, just opening up a scripture
at an ungodly hour at 7 a.m. Lord,
before work, and gathering people just to open up the Bible, and we'll pick a scripture, we'll read it, and everyone will just share maybe things they observe, things they want to apply. And it's been so special. We had like the second week, we had like 16 people. We like almost took over like half of this coffee shop. There was like not even more, like any more seats that we could use. So it's a unique way God's been moving, and I love it. It's so refreshing and life-giving. And I believe it's something really special God is doing right now in our church.
And people are begging for it. They're asking, actually. We didn't have one scheduled this week, and we're going to go ahead and try to offer one this Thursday. But it's amazing because it's not only so good for the people to actually read out loud the Bible and then talk about it and apply it to their lives, but people are observing. Mm. People are said, we've had several people that don't agree with the church that are longing to be part of of a church, yeah. and then there's people that just simply disagree 100% with what we're doing, mm-hmm. but yet they'll sit down and talk and have conversations with us. So it's amazing that God is doing that.
Even people like looking for a church, they'd be like, are you guys doing a Bible study? And we'll be like, yeah, come join us. And we've got to meet people that we probably never would have met before. So just being a light in our city, in a community. And so that's been really cool. We also, this summer, for the first time, we had to cancel our gathering in person because of a tropical storm. We were on the way back from Staff Advance.
That's right.
And the storm just kept on getting stronger and stronger. Our venue right now is not the safest for a storm.
It's a metal building.
It's a metal building. So we had to just make the call day of, saying it's not the safest. We want to protect people.
Yeah.
And that was very interesting, having to not be able to gather because of the storm. But it was cool. You got to go on Instagram Live and pray. I think it was unique. And it was a bummer because everyone was excited for Sunday. But I think it also just shows... I know the ability to be flexible now in this culture and this, and I think it's very important to gather in person, but when we're not able to, it doesn't mean that we don't have to do anything.
That's true.
That there's so many more options, and we are still able to gather online and pray, pray first. Prayer is a first response, not a last resort. And so I thought that was a very unique moment also.
Yeah. And it's so random. Like, I mean, obviously summer, you never can control the weather in Florida, but it's amazing how quickly it can come in and be so hazardous and dangerous. But yet, just as quickly as it came in, it rolled out. And so we were able to recoup and get things back into place. But it just reminded me spiritually a lot. That's what happens in people's lives. These storms come to hinder, to stop you, to keep you from gathering, to keep you from being surrounded with people that could encourage you. But at the same moment, the body and the spirit of God can come around you and just meet you where you're at and help you, maybe in a physical need, maybe you had a tree down or you had something going on, but also just encourage you and be with you and know that it was just a storm that could pass through. And so although it did hinder us from meeting, it didn't stop us sharing and praying and loving and being the light in the community.
Yeah. We've been in a collection called Promises, and you kicked it off with a talk called Eternal Promises. And you shared a little about the difference between contingent promises and unconditional promises. Right. And I really loved just the message you gave, kind of just showing that some of God's promises are unconditional. Right. And maybe you could talk a little bit more about it. But also showing like a lot of them also are like, if you do this, I will do that.
Right.
And so some of them are contingent as well. And I think it was really eye-opening to people. But one thing you said, I might mess this up, but it was about the problem. Do you remember that line you said about the problem and the promise?
Yeah. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the promise.
Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the promise.
Yeah.
And I love that line. That was so good. Maybe talk a little bit more about promises and kind of encourage people in that area.
For sure. There's over 7,000 promises from God to man. And I want to know all of them. I haven't fully discovered all of them. I know a lot of them, but I was reminded that if God's given us all these promises, why are we not walking in them? Why are we not holding on to them? Why are we so fixated on the problem instead of the promise? And when we focus on the problem, it just goes nowhere. And it just almost enhances what God can't do. But when we focus on the promise, no matter the problem, God can do all things, and impossible is nothing. And then we can see those fulfilled because God is not like us that can lie. Mm-hmm. You know, I know in the scripture it says that he's not a man like us that lies. When he says it, he'll do it. Mm-hmm. And he's given us so many promises as a church, as individuals, as his heirs, as sons and daughters that we could hold on to. And there are definitely conditional promises or contingent promises and unconditional promises like grace, mercy, breathing, those are promises that we don't have to do anything. Or after the flood, he gave the sign of the rainbow. And the rainbow is significant because it came with the promise that he would never fully flood the earth again like he did and destroy all that he created. That's the unconditional promises. Like I can remind my soul that God is faithful at what he says. But the conditional is the if and then. If, for example, in Chronicles, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. There's a lot of ifs in that sentence. Yeah. It's if you're his people, if you'll humble yourself, if you're called by his name, if you'll get into a place of prayer, then I'll begin to hear you from heaven, and then I'll begin to heal your land. So there's a lot of promises that are if and then, and I think it's just for us to unlock those promises and to live them out and focus on the promise, not the problem.
So good. I love this collection of promises. You talked last Sunday about divine guidance. I'm excited to hear what you don't speak on this Sunday, but it's been really cool just to learn about the different promises of God. There's so many. We even 21 days, we have had a specific promise each and every day. Yeah. Just praying that over our life, that we would live in the promises of God. We just got back from Paraguay, actually, Asunción, Paraguay, and we have a partner church there, Manantial de Vida. My grandfather, your father-in-law, is the pastor.
Pastor Jose and Elizabeth Pastilli.
Yeah, we got to spend a few days with their team, their church, just invest into them. It's been a 5 or 6 years since we as a church have been able to go and partner with them in person, since COVID, really. Before then, we did a lot in the prisons there and did a lot with couples and marriages. Mm-hmm. But this one was more, I feel, tended to their church and their team.
Right.
It was really special being able to go. We did a team rally. It was like an all-day event for about 30 or 40 people of their church, their leaders, their team, the people that serve there. That was really special. We could talk a little bit about that. But also did the gala, sold out a restaurant full of people, just investing into marriages, couples that are dating, couples that are engaged. Married. That was really cool. And it was about 7 days. It was like we hit the ground running. Yeah. It was nonstop. But God did so much. Want to maybe hear some of your takeaways, some of your favorite moments from that. We can share with people some stories.
Yeah, what I loved about it is that we kind of invited everybody to go along with us on the journey. Every day we had a vlog going on so you could actually see us traveling. You could be praying for us. We asked people to cover us in a prayer shield and just continue to pray for us, and we could feel that, we could see that, we could see God moving in all that aspect. But then we just met with the team on Tuesday, plan out the week. Wednesday was restructuring the church, organizing cables, and putting everything in place, and setting up for the all-day event on Thursday, where we had breakfast and leadership talks, and then we had breakouts over production and worship and hosting and cameras and film, photography, all those areas. And then we just had some question and answers, and then we got to share a little bit about the menu, about what we focus on here at Floodgates here in Wesley Chapel. And then we just ended the night blessing them with a dinner, just fellowship, breaking bread. I think it's so important that, yes, we give strategies and team ideas, but it's also so good to break bread together. And what I loved about it is, like, yes, we're in a different country, but it's the same spirit, same unity, same heart, same vision. Everybody is just in a different language. But everybody, you could see.
I kept on telling people, it's like we were at our church, but in a different language, in a different country,
right,
with different people, but it felt like you were in the same place.
Right.
And it was so weird because it, like, that same spirit was there, that same culture, that same heart, that same love. It was all there, but it's like a whole different group of people. But it's just so cool how God is moving in our both of our churches, and there's this unique oneness between the two.
Yeah, and the same needs that we're struggling with here or dealing with as teams or an organization, they're having the same things there. And so it's not even a cultural thing. It's just the spiritual condition of humanity. And so we get to change that. We get to be part of implementing culture and putting heart and passion and values and mission into their lives. And so Friday we were able to, like we said, we rented out a whole restaurant. We anticipated 30 couples. We had 32 couples show up. It was amazing just to give couples an opportunity to have time to pray together. Mm-hmm. To give them some tools to help them remember and kind of focus on the renewing what they're going to do with their time. And so it was such a special moment. Even after it was all done and over with, we finished. We had a great meal, but we still found time to go get ice cream with the rest of the team that stayed until 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. So there's just so much joy and excitement. Yeah. I think they needed that encouragement as well. So that was special. We did get to rest on Saturday, and then Sunday we had our global gathering where we had to have church with them together. I know it was unique. You got to lead worship with your brother-in-law, Javier. And
my uncle.
Yeah.
Your brother.
My brother-in-law. Your uncle. You're right. And it's just so good to see that moment as well, just collaborating once again as a church. And then we did some recordings on Monday for the team and the prison ministry, and then we came back, and it's just it went by too fast, but God was moving through each and every circumstance. Yeah.
One special moment we got to do was to go to one of the malls. I think it was our second day at night, and we got to do just a hang with their church, just open invite, whoever was able to go, got to just connect with people over a meal and just catch up with people that we know, meet new faces and new people, and spend special time in relationship. And after we went back to the church to pray just over our week there. So that was really special. One of my favorite moments was one of my friends is actually a dentist in Paraguay. And I haven't been to the dentist in, I'm not going to say the amount of time. It's embarrassing.
Long time.
And he just made a spot open his schedule just to see us and fit me in. He had this little gap, and it was not like planned, but he made himself available to see us, me and Natasha. And I remember after when I was waiting to get picked up, one of their friends showed up to their office, and we were just kind of waiting, and I introduced myself, and me and Natasha began to talk to their friend, and she just began to ask us so many questions, so cool. Just about what we do, who we are, about our church, about God, and all these things. And long story short, once we left, later that night, we saw our friends again before we flew out, and they were telling us that this specific friend was, like, out of all their friends, like, she was the most closed off to church, to God, that they were never able to talk to her about it, and they were just blown away about how many questions she was asking us. And even after we left, they began to talk longer about it. And so it was really special just to see how when you're genuine and you are who you are, just the beauty and like the conversations that can be had between people who may not even have the same beliefs or the same values or even believe in the same lifestyles. But when people are genuine and they can come to that moment where they can have that kind of conversation, just how Jesus is in the middle of it. And I mean, I think about Jesus, he truly was so great at just meeting people where they were, that people were just drawn. So many times in scripture, we see people coming to Jesus because it was just so unique to anything they had ever seen or heard of, especially when it came to religion and like following God and Christianity, which in our terms now, that's what it is. And a lot of the church over there is the Catholic Church. It's a lot more ritual based. It's more rule based. And I think she was very drawn to the idea of just, you know, she never seen that side of Jesus, that Jesus truly, truly wanted to know who she was, wanted to live a life in relationship with her. And even she was just asking questions about the culture and why we even use things like social media, or do hangs at malls. Like, that was just not normal. And something she said to me that really encouraged me personally was, she said, "I can tell that you are very passionate about this." And she said, I can tell that it's not because of your grandpa or because of your father, but it's something that you truly have dedicated your life to." Wow. And that really encouraged me, just coming from someone who doesn't even believe in Jesus, yeah, or doesn't even know me. And it just encouraged me to that, I don't know, to keep on going into what God has called me to do personally. And it was just super refreshing to spend a few days with their team and come back and share all the stories of that God did. And there's so many more things we could talk about. Absolutely. One thing I loved too was being able to sit down with my grandpa, who's pastoring there, and just to share the things that we're going through, the things that they're going through, and how there's so much in common. And a lot of times we think it's just our circle or our culture or our city or it's just me. But in reality, there's so many other people going through the same thing you're going through. And so that's why it's important to live in community and relationship with people, because you're not alone. Like we said earlier, you know, that you're not alone. There's so many people that want to walk with you. So many people going maybe through the same things as you. Maybe people that have already gone through that. And so, it was just so refreshing just to, I feel like God spoke to me in that way of like knowing that there's people who've gone through something already. There's people going through the same thing, or there's people that haven't gone through it yet, that because you've gone through it, you'll be able to guide them through that as well.
Yeah. And I think that's where it goes back to that divine guidance. That I'm so inspired by Ruth lately, this young girl who made a vow, married her husband, and her husband passes away, and the mother-in-law says, "Go back home, you know, go back to your people, go back to your culture, go back to what you know." And she made a statement to her, said, like, "No, your God's going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people." And she stayed with her mother-in-law. And obviously, because I think she also saw things about God that she had never seen before. And it was amazing that she took that step, not fully knowing who God is, not fully understanding what was ahead, but there was this divine guidance leading her into a place where she would be taken care of. And as a widow back then, it was very difficult to survive, but she took a step, went out into a field and began to glean in this field and take people's leftovers, and she ended up finding favor. But because of her step of faith, she is now part of the genealogy of Jesus. It's like David's great, great, great grandma, however many, it's like, it's so crazy to see that, because Boaz married Ruth and they bore Obed, and Obed bore Jesse, and Jesse bore David, and just goes all the way down to the lineage of Jesus. But it was this girl who didn't believe in God. Her people didn't have God in their life, and yet she married into this culture, into this religion, or into this lifestyle of knowing who God is. And obviously she had to be impacted by that to be able to stay and say, "No, I want your God to be my God. I want your people to be my people." And then to start living out in faith and see how God was so faithful. And that's what I've seen the theme over the summer, is God's faithfulness, that he's been so, so, so faithful. His faithfulness is true. His promises are tried, trusted, and true. And we can just lean on them. And I'm just encouraged as we go into this new season, that we end the year strong with new vision, with passion, with joy, with, yes, are there difficulties? Yes. Are there hardships? Yes. Is there pain? Yes. But through it all, wow, God was so faithful.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. That's a great way to end this episode. It's been so cool just to even trace it back to see all the highs, all the lows, all the ups, all the downs. But through it all, God has been faithful. He has been, he is right now, and he will be. That's just who he is. God is faithful. So we have promises that we can hold on to. We have a hope to hold on to in every season of life, through all the ups and through all the downs. And just know that wherever you find yourself right now is not where you'll always be. Whether you are in the up season, there might be a down that you will experience. Maybe you are in the down, there are ups that you will experience, that there's hope in that. And so through all the ups and downs, just put your trust in Jesus. He is faithful. He'll see you through. And no, just as many times you might experience a down moment, even in the down, there's so much good happening. Yes. There's so many things that God is doing and the details behind it all that you can look back and celebrate that the best truly is yet to come. Yeah. It's been such a special episode. I think we're up to date to everything God's been doing. I'm so excited just to continue to share what God is doing. And I believe that these are special days, that there's so much more to come. We have another episode coming out next month. That's the plan. And so we're back. It's good to be back.
Yeah, felt good to be back with you guys.
Felt good to be back. Share the podcast, continue to listen, and let's build this community, this platform where we can just continue to live by faith, be known by love, and be a beacon of hope. We'll see you next time.